Brethren, reading the Bible over the years, I've noticed something, and I wonder if you have noticed it too. Very often when God promises to do something, he's about to take action, and his people are waiting for him to carry out what he promises to do or says he will do, almost always God gives them something to do while they're waiting. Have you noticed that too? Noah, a flood is coming. Go build an ark. Lot, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Prepare to relocate. Children of Israel, I've made a path through the sea. Start walking. The water is bitter at Marah. I'm going to show you a tree. Throw that tree in the water and the waters will become sweet. 10 lepers, you'd like to be healed? Go show yourselves to the priests. Cornelius, you want to be saved? Send for my servant Peter, and he will instruct you in what you should do. Of course, sometimes God acts instantaneously. Jesus instantly healed many people. But even then, often Jesus gave people something to do. Go and sin no more. But the point here is that very often God gives his people things to do while they are waiting for him. And that applies to all of us too. What does God want us to be doing while we are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ? Are we to just sit back, sit in a rocking chair, twiddling our thumbs, watching the grass grow? No. God gives his people things to do. Actions to take while we are waiting for him. So what are some things God is telling us to do while we are waiting for him? Well, one thing is to carry out the Great Commission, to preach and teach the gospel, the good news of salvation. Another thing, and of the kingdom of God. Another thing we're told to do can be found in Revelation 19, 6 through 7. So let's go over there. Revelation chapter 19, and verses 6 through 7, where we're told, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as a sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. So we're told in Revelation 19 that the bride of Christ will have made herself ready by the time Jesus returns. Who is the bride of Christ? We are the church of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. The church is the bride. And one of the key things that we should be doing now is being busy making ourselves ready. And the good news is that according to Revelation that we just read, the church will be successful in doing that. Today, let's think about brides, and especially the bride of Christ. This subject should be very relatable to just about everyone here and who is listening to this message. Because most of us, even except for maybe the very youngest among us, either have been a bride, have married a bride, or known a bride in their lifetimes. And collectively, as we already mentioned, we are the bride of Jesus Christ. I've never been a bride, obviously, but I married a bride. I'm the son of a bride. I have sisters that were brides. I have a daughter that was a bride and cousins that were brides. And I've been to a fair number of weddings, as I'm sure all of you have. So just like you, I've observed brides over the years. And I've consulted with my bride about this topic today. But far more importantly than what any of us know about brides is what God knows about them. So let's think about brides today and look into the Bible to see what God says about brides and consider how you and I, as the collective bride of Christ, can make ourselves ready with God's help. To begin with, let's think about brides and how they get ready. How does a bride make herself ready? She makes herself ready for the wedding, her wedding and marriage, through meticulous planning and practice, by keeping herself pure, being faithful, loving, and getting to know her future mate, and by improving and maintaining her health, beauty, and vitality. Let's take a look at each of these areas one by one and see how they relate, how this all relates to us as the bride of Christ. A lot of planning, the first point is meticulous planning and practice. A lot of planning goes into a wedding, doesn't it? I was reminded last year, as I listened to and became aware of all the planning that my daughters and my wife and others were engaged in for my daughter Heather's wedding. A lot of decisions had to be made and plans laid out. When should the wedding take place? What should the wedding budget be? What was to be the venue? How big should the bridal party be? Who should be asked to be bridesmaids and groomsmen? Who should be invited to the wedding? What should the color scheme be? What wedding dress should be bought? Who should make the wedding cake? Or where should be purchased? As the father of the bride, I wasn't really directly involved in any of those decisions except for the wedding budget part. But I heard a lot of discussion as the details were being ironed out through the months leading up to the wedding. Lots and lots of planning goes into a successful wedding. And yet, things don't always go according to plan, do they? Sometimes plans go awry. Especially, it seems like, for outdoor weddings. Now, Heather didn't have an outdoor wedding, but I've heard a lot of stories about outdoor weddings. My sister told me about an outdoor wedding that was held for one of my nephews. And everything was going well until some birds up above decided to drop their payload on part of the wedding party. That was not a pretty scene. Mrs. Egbert told me a story about a wedding she watched at the feast a few years ago. She gave me permission to tell the story, so I hope I get it right. But Nancy was at the feast in Ocean City, Maryland, and she noticed, looking out her hotel room or on the balcony, she looked down and she saw on the beach, they were having a wedding ceremony down on the beach. Isn't that nice? The only problem is the hurricane was moving into the Ocean City beach area. And as she watched, chairs were being blown and tossed around. The winds were playing havoc with the brides and the bridesmaids' dresses. And it got so bad, finally, that they just had to stop the ceremony. On the internet, I found all kinds of stories about wedding plan disasters. There was a case where a bride got too close to one of the candles during the service, and her veil caught on fire. A family member trying to help out, who was seated in the front row, instead of subtly patting out the flames, began smacking the bride in the head with her purse to put out the fire. Quite a scene. There were stories of meltdowns due to dresses not being tried on until the last minute and then finding out they didn't fit. There's another case of a bridesmaid, this time a bridesmaid, who caught her hair on fire at the service, getting too close to a candle. I think it might be best to avoid candles at weddings. What do you think? On the website BuzzFeed.com, one person wrote, "I was a bridesmaid in my brother's wedding. During the ceremony, one of the bridesmaids fainted and was carried out of the sanctuary. Then 10 minutes later, the bride fainted. As well, my brother caught her, and she just sat on the ground for a while. Then the bride's brother almost fainted as well. After that, someone got some chairs, and we all sat for the rest of the ceremony. Another person wrote, "At my mom's wedding, everyone is really busy and frantically trying to get everything together. In all the commotion, my mom, the bride, got left behind. She had to catch a taxi to go to the wedding. And then my grandma got mad at her for being late." Others wrote about power failures causing wedding disruptions, about lost wedding rings. Yes, wedding plans don't always work out. And the Bible confirms that too. We won't turn there, but if you can read in John 2, verses 1 through 11, about Jesus' first miracle. As you may recall, Jesus changed water into wine. Why? Because they had run out of wine. And his mother asked him to intercede. Yes, another thing that can happen at his wedding is you can run out of things. But Jesus saved the day for that particular wedding. In our age, a typical bride prepares for her wedding through a lot of meticulous planning. But I have good news. As the bride of Christ, we don't have to worry about any of that. The wedding planners, God the Father and Jesus Christ, have been busy taking care of it all for us. Our job is not to plan out the wedding or be anxious about it. Our job is to trust the wedding planners that they know what they are doing and follow their careful instructions. We need to trust that they know what they're doing, and they will tell us what we need to know and do at the right time when we need to know and do it. And that takes faith on our part. Sometimes we might want to tinker with God's plans, but God knows what's best. Remember Abraham and Sarah? At first, they didn't have a really good grasp of God's plan. They thought they needed to take things into their own hands. And so Abraham had a child through Hagar, which caused all kinds of problems that have come down to our day and age, too. Maybe they should have asked God more questions up front. In any case, they learned from God's plan, and they learned more about God's plan, and they learned to trust him completely, and wound up setting a wonderful role model for all of us. We need to remember God is the potter, and we are the clay. We need to trust God to help us be ready. God knows what he's doing. Proverbs chapter 3 in verses 5 through 6. That's Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, some may be tempted to think, oh, if I just say the name Jesus, tell people I love him, then I can claim this promise, and everything I do after that will have God's blessing and backing. But they might be overlooking a little word, the little word all. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That means acknowledging God and his sovereignty over every aspect of our lives and every decision we make. From the entertainment we watch, to how we talk to our neighbors, how we treat our spouse, how we treat our children, how we treat our great-grandmother, to the quality of our work, and to everything else. If we trust in God with all our heart, not relying on our own understanding of things, readily admit God's sovereignty over every aspect of our lives, he will direct our lives, including helping us to prepare for the life to come. So lesson number one is we need to make ourselves ready by trusting in God. God's got this. Our job is to trust him to take care of all the wedding details. We must follow his step-by-step instructions as revealed in his word and revealed through his spirit. A second critical step or preparation step or area for brides is that of love, commitment, and faithfulness. A bride, just like a groom, needs to love their future mate and be committed, devoted, faithful, and true to their relationship. Many years ago, my parents told me a sad story about what happened to one of the relatives of one of their friends. The brother of one of my dad's friends was unmarried. He attended a local church in his neighborhood. One day, he met a pretty young lady who started attending that congregation. This was not our church and not in this area, and it happened decades ago, so I don't think you would know who this person was at all. But they, quote unquote, fell in love and they got married. But several months to a year later, suddenly, his wife left him. Shocked and stunned, he talked to his wife's parents. He told them, "What happened?" And they said, "Oh, we knew it'd never work out." Apparently, the woman had a dark history. She had had abortions before. She had a whole string of men, a whole string of marriages prior to this. In a sorrow and frustration, he asked his in-laws, "Well, why did you never tell me?" They said, "Oh, we hoped it might be different this time." Now, I don't mean to imply that people can't be forgiven of sins, because they can. God can forgive us from every kind of sin. Matter of fact, every sin, except for one, the unpardonable sin, which is a sin we refuse to sincerely repent of. But once we see the light, we need to walk in it. We need to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Be doers of the word and not just hearers only, as Mr. Greer reminded us last week in his sermonette. Fortunately for us, Jesus is the perfect role model for his bride. Revelation 19 and verse 11. That's Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." It's just like Jesus, we need to be faithful and true too. We need to be committed to our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. But in addition to commitment, we also need to have and develop a deep, abiding love for God. As the bride of Christ, we can prepare for our new role in God's kingdom by developing a genuine, sincere love for God the Father, our future father-in-law, and for Jesus Christ, and for each other. And just as a bride should try to get to know her fiancé, we need to get to truly know Jesus. Using an illustration, Jesus, speaking of himself, tells in John chapter 10, that's John 10, and verses 3 through 6. "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Verses 27 and 28. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." As the bride of Christ, we need to be able to recognize the voice of Jesus and be able to distinguish him from look-alike imposters, just as sheep are able to recognize the true shepherd from and follow him wherever he leads them. During World War I, some Turkish soldiers tried to steal a flock of sheep from a hillside near Jerusalem. The shepherd was sleeping, and when he woke up, he suddenly was shocked. He was shocked when he woke to see that his sheep were being driven off on the other side of the ravine. Distraught and wondering what to do, He finally had an idea. Standing up on his side of the ravine, he put his hands to his mouth, and he gave his own peculiar call, which he used each day to gather his sheep to them. The sheep heard the familiar sound. For a moment, they stopped and listened. Hearing it again, they turned and rushed down one side of the ravine and then up the other side of the ravine to the shepherd. It was quite impossible for the soldiers to stop the animals. The shepherd was away with them to a quiet place of safety before the soldiers could make up their minds to pursue them. And all because his sheep knew his master's voice. You and I need to know our master's and savior's voice. Then if people say, oh, you don't have to keep that old Sabbath law anymore, or say something similar about any of other God's laws or principles, we'll know that is not the voice of Jesus. In getting to know a future mate, a couple contemplating marriage should seek to learn all they can about each other. They should try to observe one another under a variety of different circumstances. Learn what each other, what their likes and dislikes are, what they're strong in, what they're weak in. And as they learn about each other, sometimes it's tempting for a bride or a groom to wear rose-colored glasses, to ignore or overlook purposely major flaws, weaknesses, or issues in their future mate. And that can lead to all kinds of problems in marriage. As an old saying goes, it's best to keep both eyes open before marriage and both eyes shut after marriage. Brides and grooms need to fully understand what they're signing up for, what they're getting themselves into. And then once married, they need to do all they can to be forgiving and eagerly overlook minor issues. Fortunately for us, though, as the bride of Christ, our future mate is perfect. We don't have to worry about finding flaws or issues. Our challenge is working on ourselves and getting ready to know Jesus. We should do all we can to get to know him through prayer, Bible study, meditation. And as we study the descriptions of Jesus in God's word and learn all about what he has done for us, is doing for us, and will do for us in the future, we can't do anything except love him. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. That's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us in offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And then 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. 1 John 4, 19. We love him because he first loved us. So as the bride of Christ, a critical preparation step or lesson is to recognize our need to know Jesus Christ personally and to have a firm commitment and deep abiding love for him. Another way brides prepare for their wedding day and marriage is by doing all they can to be in the best shape possible and be in the best state of mind and body. To that end, they do everything they can to be clean, dressed in a beautiful white wedding dress, have on appropriate jewelry, have their hair and nails just right, and they're watching, waiting, and ready for their big day to arrive. Now, what does that look like spiritually for the bride of Christ? Well, let's look quickly at each aspect of this. First, let's consider cleanliness. Brides must be clean and have practice good personal hygiene. As the bride of Christ, we need to be clean too. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 25 to 27. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Well, let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter, the first chapter. Isaiah 1, and we'll read verses 16 through 19. Isaiah 1, 16 through 19. Wash yourselves, make yourself clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We need to let God help us to clean, get cleaned up through the washing of the water of the Word, studying, meditating, and applying the Word of God. Brides also need to wear clean clothing. Brides at their wedding wear bright, clean clothes, beautiful wedding dresses. As the bride of Christ, we are to have bright, clean wedding dresses or gowns too. Please turn to Revelation 19. We skipped over part of this earlier, but we'll read the whole section now. Revelation 19. And let's read verses 6 through 9. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And as we know from Psalm 119, verse 172, all of God's commandments are righteousness. The clean, bright, white linen robes and garments we'll be allowed to wear represent acts of righteousness, acts of overcoming and obedience to God's commandments. Things we do while accepting and trusting Jesus as our Savior in deep gratitude for his sacrifice to take away our sins. Now, in addition to being clean and wearing nice, clean, white garments, brides also wear beautiful jewelry and try to look their best, fixing their hair or nails, etc. What about the bride of Christ? We are not to just have jewels, we are to be jewels, at least in God's sight. Isaiah 61, verse 10. That's Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. And Malachi 3, 16 through 17. That's Malachi 3, 16 through 17. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Or the margin says, who esteem my name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. One more in this section, Jeremiah chapter 2, and verses 32 to 33. That's Jeremiah, second chapter, and verses 32 to 33. Can a virgin forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why do you beautify your way to seek love? Therefore, you have also taught the wicked women your ways. We won't turn there, but in Ezekiel chapter 16 and 23, God describes his first bride. Yes, God was married before to Old Testament Israel and Judah, who he helped to prepare for marriage every step of the way. He washed his Old Testament bride and anointed her with oil. He clothed her with fine linen. He decked her with gold and silver jewelry. But she forsook him, forgetting what he had done for her. We must not do that. We must not forget our God. We must not rely on our own abilities. We must not let down in faith or obedience. We shouldn't try to look good just physically. What's important is to look good spiritually by remembering God and loving his way. Now, in addition to cleanliness, clean clothes, bright colored clothes, and jewelry, a bride also seeks to physically look and feel her best and be in good health. Besides taking time to prove their health, brides need to take time to prove and maintain their health, beauty, and vitality. Esther was given 12 months of beauty preparations. Think about that. 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beautifying women. That seems like a very long time, doesn't it? Until you consider that our spiritual beauty preparation takes a lot longer. God gives us our whole lifetime to prepare for that. So that's quite a bit longer. Revelation 21 and verse 2. That's Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2. Then I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 4. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. The qualities of humility, modesty, chaste conduct, godly fear, gentleness, self-control, those are all things that set the bride of Christ apart and is what gives her true spiritual beauty. And God will help us to develop those traits too. Philippians 1 and verse 6, as Philippians 1 and verse 6 tells us, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. As we strive to be our best for God, God will help us, but we need to do our part too. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 23 to 24. It's Colossians 3, 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Yes, brides try to be their best in their best health and look well and feel well on their big day. But it doesn't always work out that way. One of my nieces was feeling sick right up to her wedding day. I think she had a very upset stomach, as I recall. She stuck it through, though, but it was tough for her. As the bride of Christ, we need to look and feel our spiritual best. Having good vision, just as the sermonette was pointing out, having good vision, embracing and seeing the promises of God from afar, having a healthy new heart and new spirit, repenting and casting away wickedness, desiring to walk in and keep God's commandments, having beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Becoming more lovable by being a cheerful giver and by keeping the words of Jesus. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Then Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." And the Psalm 146:7 tells us, "The Lord loves the righteous." Finally, brethren, a bride must also be watching and waiting, ready to walk down the aisle, ready for her big day, keeping her cool and not spoiling the day by taking out her frustrations on others if things don't go quite right. As the bride of Christ, we need to be watching and waiting too. Jesus gives us a couple of parables to help with that. The first parable is about bridesmaids, but it also applies to the bride as well. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Matthew 25 and verses 1 through 15. I'm sorry, 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." We must be ready and prepared with oil in our lamps. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and not allowing ourselves to be run down spiritually, but instead stay close to God and Jesus. We need to stay obedient. We need to trim our lamps. That means to remove the burnt part of the wick so the remaining part can burn brightly. Spiritually, we need to trim our lamps by casting off the works of darkness. And we need to make sure we have a good supply of God's Spirit through obedience, Bible study, and prayer. God gives His Spirit to those who obey Him, the Bible tells us. And Jesus gives us one other parable to help us. This one's about stewards, but again, it applies to us as the bride of Christ as well. We can find that in Luke chapter 12 and verses 35 to 46. That's Luke 12, 35 to 46. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men waiting for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Verse 41, then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him into two, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Brethren, you and I, as the bride of Christ, we need to be watching and waiting, ready to spring into action, ready to begin our new life of working alongside of Jesus Christ, serving God the Father and others. As we practice this now, have a dress rehearsal, if you will, in this life by being attentive to the needs of others and never letting down and never taking our, we should never take our frustrations out on others. We need to do our best with God's help to get in shape physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually so we can be effective servants of God and helpers of Jesus. Brethren, as we wait for the return of Jesus in this increasingly troubled world, an evil world, it's critical that we stay actively working on making ourselves ready. With God's help, we can prepare by learning to trust Him, by becoming more loving, committed, and faithful to Him, and by developing spiritual fitness and vitality. Our wedding day to Jesus Christ is coming soon. With God's help, you and I can be ready.